Well, that's right. We are right here. I'm at Sharp Facets Gallery, and in town is Cricket Carpenter. That's right. She and her husband had an interesting time. Talk about 50 First Dates and some of those other movies that are out here. Well, The Vow was written by Kim, which is her husband, and Cricket Carpenter. She was in a very horrendous car accident, lost her memory, and we're going to be talking about how they reconnected. I think that's amazing, Cricket. You've been married to somebody a couple of months, and then you're in this car accident, and you know how many women out there would like to forget the man that they married?
Well, there's probably some that would like to, but, you know, it's usually not what someone would choose to happen to them when they first, you know, get married.
Exactly. Well, tell us, you know, you had been, The Vow was actually on FX last night, and that was pretty amazing. The book is a little different than the movie, but I would be interested for you just to give us a little synopsis about what happened for those that don't know.
Okay, well, my husband and I met actually on the telephone. He was a baseball coach, and I did sales. He called into the sportswear company. To make a long story short, we got married a year later. I lived in California, and he was in New Mexico. And we got married, and 10 weeks after we got married, we were going to visit my parents for Thanksgiving, and we were in a severe car accident. And I suffered a traumatic head injury where they had to air rack me to the University of New Mexico Medical Center. And I was in a coma for, quite some time. And early on, even just the first night, they gave me less than a 1% chance to survive.
Wow.
But miraculously, I survived, and I came out of my coma. And when they started questioning me out of my coma, they asked me who my mom was. I said, Mary, my dad, Gus. And they asked me who I was married to, and I said, I'm not married. And then when they asked me again, I said, Todd, who was my old boyfriend. And what we discovered quite some time after that is that I lost my short-term memory, and I ended up losing about a year and a half prior to our car accident, the 4 months after.
Wow.
And so my short-term memory was gone, and we discovered that I lost the memory of my husband.
Did you ever recover that memory?
No. Once you've had a traumatic brain injury, they give you about 18 to 24 months to remember whatever it is, you know, that has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it, you know, we've been married 20 years now.
Wow.
So the memory has never come back, and obviously it won't because it's been past the two-year window. But, you know, we have many new memories now.
Yeah, I like the fact, so many times it's so difficult. It's difficult for the person that has the injury, but I think sometimes we forget how difficult it is for the person, in your case, your husband, to be there and to just not really know what direction to go.
Oh, definitely. I mean, even today, like, we've been asked which, you know, spot you'd rather be in, the head injured one or the non, and I would pick the head injured.
Right.
Because he was the one that had to, you know, wait day after day after day for me, and along with my family as well, you know, to come out of a coma and just, you know, he could remember everything, where for me, I don't really have any memory of the horrible parts of it because that memory, you know, is gone from my mind. But he had to live every minute of it.
He did, and he had to, he had a big decision to make to let the memory die about y'all's relationship, right?
Right.
To stay with it?
Right, exactly. And it's how you viewed it. For me, I never really looked back and tried to, you know, I never dwelt on the fact that I couldn't remember, you know, 2 years of my life. I just went on forward every day, where he, you know, early on would really dwell on the fact, you know, was I going to remember him? And he tried to do everything so that I would. You know, it was a day-by-day struggle, where just each seat that you're in have different, you know, emotions and different struggles that go along with them.
Now, since you knew, I mean, they showed you the wedding video, you saw the marriage license, you saw all this stuff, even though you didn't know this man, did you go back and live with him, or did you go home to your parents to recover? What happened?
Well, once I was released from Barrows Neurological Institute in April, the car accident was in November, and I was released in April to move home with my husband, the therapists all thought that I knew who he was. And so I was released to go home and live with him. But what we didn't realize at the time is I had no memory of who he was because I wasn't able to cognitively say, I don't know who you are. You know, I just wasn't there mentally.
Right.
And so it took quite some time for us to actually discover that the memory was gone. And, you know, once we discovered what the problem was, that's when, you know, we were able to start again. And so, yes, to answer your question, I did go home and move with him, although everyone thought I knew who he was at the time.
What a horrible position for you to be in, because you're just being told, oh, yeah, go home with this guy. Everything will be okay. Your memory will come back, and you can't even say, I have no idea who
exactly.
this guy is.
I mean, it was very scary, but you have to also realize, I mean, I was severely head injured, and, you know, my brain damage was so severe that I, at the time, once I moved home to him, acted probably about like a 10-year-old, and, you know, it was kind of just like playing house, but I didn't understand what was happening to me. My brain had been severely rattled.
Yeah. So the story is that he decided that he would woo you and make you fall back in love with him again.
Right. And, you know, once we realized the memory wasn't there, I mean, you have a choice. Obviously, I mean, we made a vow before God in good times and bad, sickness and health, and we are going to stay true to our vows. No one said marriage is going to be easy. And we just got to know each other again. You know, it wasn't, I'm sure, how it went the first time, but, you know, we were left with a situation that we had to make it work, so that's what we did. And, you know, we did little dates and did, you know, fun stuff to get to know each other again and build new memories. And that's kind of just how we went forward once we realized the memory was gone.
That still is that still had to have a lot of maybe ups and a lot of downs in it, though, Cricket.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I mean, there was very depressed times, very, you know, scary times just because of my head injury. And I was getting to know a new Cricket as well because my personality was changed as a result of my head injury. So it was, you know, a very crazy time. I relied on the Lord. That's who, you know, got me through and helped get me through every day. And, you know, it was just, we kind of took baby steps one day at a time and we're just positive with what our situation was. And, you know, we were married and we were going to stay true to our vows.
Not many people would do that today, Cricket.
No, and back when my head injury occurred, I believe the divorce rate was about 80% with head injuries. And today the divorce rate is like 99%. It is very hard. I mean, you can recover from head injuries and your marriage can't survive, but it is very difficult.
No,
but
how
get other people around you and build a support system and get real educated about whatever it is, whatever problem you're going through, get educated about it and get, you know, support and people around you to help you, you know, go day by day.
Now, how long ago was the accident?
The car accident was the day before Thanksgiving in 1993.
And this is 2014.
Right.
And your marriage has flourished. I understand you have two children.
We do. Our son, Danny, is 14, and our daughter, Leanne, is 10, and she'll be 11 next month.
Amazing, amazing, amazing story. If for people that don't necessarily have a traumatic brain injury like you did, but are having struggles out there, what would you tell them? Because the big deal is today, well, I don't like it, I'm unhappy, hey, I'm just going to walk out the door.
Right, and people just bail over spilled milk.
Right.
You know, I mean, I would encourage them to, you know, to stay true to their vows and to be committed and do what you need to do. If you need to go get counseling or, you know, go to your church and get some help or seek out friends around you for support, I would get a support group, definitely. And, you know, try redating. You know, give that option, whether you've had a head injury or not, but you can build new memories with, you know, the spouse that you have. And stay committed and be true to your word. You know, it is difficult, but seek out help. And like I said earlier, if counseling is what you need, then go get it. That's what Kim and I did, and that's how we discovered the memory was actually gone. It was through a counselor. He's the one that got us back on track because we discovered what our problem was.
And I guess if you're getting back on track, that dating thing is a good idea, but the problem with the world is today we just don't have the time. You know, I think everybody is so wound up with working. So many people work, two jobs,
right.
The whole family, and just staying together is really tough in today's world.
And it is, but I think, you know, regardless, you still have to get your priorities in line. And, you know, maybe put down the cell phone for a little bit or turn the TV off or turn the radio off or do whatever you need to do.
Don't turn the radio off, Kim.
Well, maybe not turn the radio off. The radio is a good one.
Okay.
But, you know, but especially the TV and your cell phones. I mean, especially put your cell phone down or turn your computer off, you know, for just a little bit of time. And, you know, spend a little bit of time with your spouse. Go out with your spouse.
What made, I guess he actually kind of started the book, right? What made him decide to write this book?
Well, it was back in 1996 is when our story was discovered. And we signed our first book deal back then. And the vow first released in 2000, our first book, which was a Christian book. And then we rewrote it to go along with the movie. But we did sign our movie deal back in 1996 as well. It just took 16 years, you know, to make it. It was in development that long.
And how was it being a behind the scenes as part of the movie?
It was fun. We were there during the wedding scene of the movie when Rachel and Channing were getting married in that museum. And that was in Canada because that's where Rachel is from. But we were there during that part of the filming. And, you know, it was fun. And, you know, our kids got to be there, and it was great for them to be able to, you know, meet Rachel and Channing. And Channing was just darling because he would, like, every time he came off the set, he would, like, hang out with my daughter and play with her and her stuffed animals. And, you know, they're just real people as well. I mean, they're fabulous.
But you did put a lot of input into the movie, didn't you?
Well, you know, we had some input. They have written a few different scripts. I believe there was like four or five before this one, and we rejected all those. They brought this script to us, and they said they were going to go with it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they represented my parents completely wrong. My parents have been faithfully married for, you know, 54 years. But, you know, they wanted to add their twist to the movie, and Kim and I never divorced. And I did not get back together with my old boyfriend. I mean, the book is a true story because that's what we wrote. And
right.
We wrote the truth, which is a very amazing story. But, you know,
itself.
Hollywood made their changes. And after 16 years being in development, the story kind of twisted quite a bit.
Yeah, because I was watching parts of it, and then I'd read part of the book, and I was like, you know, I thought her parents were your parents' school teachers, weren't they?
Right, right.
And you were not a aspiring sculptress.
No, I was a sculptress. My husband was a baseball coach, and I was a gymnast in college. And then after I graduated from college, I had just gotten into sales and done sportswear sales. And that's how we met, because he was a baseball coach, and he called in to order team jackets. We have a very sports theme, you know, in our life, not, you know, art and music.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, you had to sound really good on the telephone.
Well, you know, I mean, because I did sales, so I mean, I worked with many different people. I worked with athletic directors all across the country and baseball coaches, basketball coaches. You know, we did collegiate and professional teams.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just what I did. And, you know, I was an athlete for almost 20 years, so I could relate to, you know, all the different sports,
sure,
you know, that I was talking to.
Yeah, no, I just, spawn a relationship from a telephone call, I need to order a jacket. Yes.
I know, and, you know, but it was, you know, 20 years ago, so that's what you did. You talked on the phone, you used your calling card, you know,
right,
at 10 cents a minute, and you wrote letters back then. I teach at the school, and I'm like, you know, do you know how to write letters? You put a stamp in the corner, like, kids probably don't even know how to address an envelope. But that's what we did back then.
I know.
We wrote letters. We didn't have personal computers to do emails, and there were no cell phones to talk to and, you know, talk on and text and all that.
Right.
It was just old-fashioned, I guess, you know, in the early 90s.
Yeah. What do you think, looking at how the kids and everything do communicate in today's world, what do you think about all that? You've got two that are, I'm sure, on the computer and communicating and doing all this.
Right. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's interesting how they do it. it's kind of scary because I don't know how much they talk face-to-face and, you know, just communicate like how we do over a telephone or, you know, they type everything where you can put stuff and there's no emotion behind it and you can't really tell exactly what someone's thinking or feeling. I think it is kind of scary for our generation right now, to be quite honest with you.
Sure. I would think it would be that it would be even more difficult to go through what you went through with the way that young people and adults now communicate, because there is that lack of emotion and touching and caring right there.
Right. And, you know, all in all, I think we just need to go back to the basics on things, you know, and just like true, you know, dating and communicating where you talk with the person. You're not just texting and typing and doing all that. I think just going back to just the true basics on and, you know, the foundations that we used to have will probably be more helpful in developing true relationships and quality ones.
Absolutely. Well, and I would think for you, having had the traumatic brain injury that you did in that car accident and everything, that you would be, how shall I say this, hell on wheels when it came to people texting.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am not, you know, into that, especially texting while driving,
you know. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, not into that at all. So, in you know, and for I wish it was just across, you know, the U.S., there's just no texting while driving because there's no reason for someone to lose their life because someone's on their telephone.
That's right. So I guess that would be a good platform for you there, too. Well, listen, Cricket Carpenter, you are here in town. You are going to be this evening out at Piedmont Tech. This is She's Somebody's Hero, and I'm sure you have been a hero to a lot, giving people the inspiration to go on and try to fix, repair, and make your relationship work. I know people are looking forward to hearing you this evening, and I think we still have space for a few more out there this evening.
Right, right. So, you know, if you're available tonight, come. I know there's going to be some vendors out there and a fashion show and dinner, and then I will be speaking along with one of your local neurologists is also going to speak as well before I talk and, you know, share my testimony. And so I think it's just going to be a great event. So if you're available tonight, head on out to Piedmont Technical College.
Absolutely. Well, Cricket Carpenter, thanks for sharing your story. Good luck, and we'll be looking to see the vow too, right?
That's right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, two events that inspired the movie The Vow. So if you'd like to go, that'll be tonight from 5:30 to 8:30 at the James Medford Family Event Center. Tickets are $50, and you can give them a call, 941-8400. That's 941-8400. As Cricket said, there's going to be dinner. There's going to be a fashion show. They're going to also have a speaker. A neurologist is going to be speaking. She's going to be speaking. Vendors are going to be out there, and some great door prizes. Hey, we contributed a few right here from Sharp Facets Gallery. So why don't you give them a call, 941-8400. That's 941-8400. It's She's Somebody's Hero, and celebrating the woman in you. And this woman certainly is a hero, and her husband is too. That was a tough, tough road, but they made it.